We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad this morning. And our guest this morning is our awesome brother in Christ, Pastor Kevin Akins. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm great. I'm fired up and powered up. Let's do this.
We appreciate you coming in last minute. We had a cancellation, and we appreciate you picking it up and coming
in. That's my spot call right there.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get that posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is The Refuge. They're located at the New Liberty Church in Sayre. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Today is Thursday. We will have a word from Pastor Dwight through the Truth broadcast. He's not in the building. However, when this is over, we will end the iPad and we'll restart it. And then we'll have a word from Pastor Dwight. The title of that today is going to be Avoiding Shipwreck.
Ooh, he's good.
I love him. I love my pastors.
Yeah, he's good. He's good.
Please remember to like, share, and comment so that we know you're tuned in this morning. Or even if it's later, we get notifications. And we appreciate all y'all. God's so cool.
He is.
Would you pray to start us out, brother?
Let's do that. Pray with me. Father God, we love you so much. And what a wonderful privilege it is, Lord, to share your gospel across these airways. Lord, wherever people may be listening today, from whatever distance or ever how close, Lord, I pray that your power extends to them. Lord, I pray that you touch hearts and minds and spirits of people today all across this place. Let your word go forth and not return void. Let your word speak out and declare. Let your word change lives today. And we will give you the glory and the praise through all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 I like your title this morning.
Oh, man, I've struggled with the title, but there we go.
Do what you can.
Do what you can. Just do what you can. You know, I had a really neat encounter. This may sound a little strange to some people, but on Wednesday nights, I drive our church bus and pick up the kids and deliver them because I want to. That's why I do it. I like to be in touch with those little kids, and I don't have time to go to the Sunday school class and do that with them. So I take the hour before church to go pick them up on the van, and then usually the hour afterwards to deliver them, take them to the home, right? Well, last night, these two little girls were sitting on the van, and they're sisters. And the older of the sister was trying to teach the younger sister simple multiplication. Simple multiplication. And she kept saying, no, you don't get it. No matter what multiplies times zero, it's still zero. And so she goes into these big numbers. And so here's this little girl, and I'm just saying just a little girl, and she's given these numbers. 5 times zero is zero. 8 times zero is zero. 10 times zero is zero. And then she goes, 16 billion trillion times zero is zero. And the other little girl was like, oh, that just blows my mind. I'm just driving down the road, listening to this sweet little conversation. This little small girl, the youngest one, said, that just blows my mind. You know, she said, so anything times nothing is still nothing. And I thought, that's the message that the Lord is trying to get to my heart. Anybody can do something. And if you can just do something, God will multiply it and make it a large amount. But if you do nothing, then God has no choice but to multiply it times nothing. Now, God tells us in the scripture that it's very clear that he can call those things that are not as though they were. He can make those kind of things happen along the way. But he chooses to bless you by letting you do something. And if you can just do whatever you can do, then God wants to bless it and make it even greater than it's ever been before. And so I went home, and I'm looking through the scriptures last night, and I know only pastors probably do this. A lot of people go home and collapse and try to, but I go home and I grab my Bible, and I'm looking through the Bible, and I run across this passage of scripture. It's found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, and it begins at verse number 1, and it's only going to go through about 9 different verses. So I know y'all can read, but just let me read it to you. Let me share with you from my heart. This is in the New King James Version. After 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. So the whole plot of Jesus being crucified is coming together. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. So they had to postpone it a little bit, and they had to wait. All right, here we go. So verse 3, and being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant about these among themselves and said, why was this fragrant wasted? Why was this oil wasted? It might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, and I love this, let her alone. In many versions, it says, leave her alone. Mm-hmm. Now, just put a little attitude with that. If you think that Jesus was super nice and sweet and he didn't have an attitude sometime, when somebody does special for Jesus, I love it. I don't know if you get this or not, but I do. There are times, even in my life sometimes, that I hear the Lord whisper in my ear, I just told them to leave you alone. And I go, yes. I didn't have to say anything. I didn't have to retaliate. I didn't have to go backwards on it. We have a Lord and Savior sometimes that speaks up on our behalf. And the only words he has to say is to whoever, the enemy, the devil, or just a bystander that's aggravating you, leave them alone. Can you think about that? How's that feel in your life to know that you've got somebody so superior that looks down over you and his major command is leave them alone? They can't react against that. The devil can't go around that. The devil can't penetrate through that. The devil can't stop that. Leave them alone. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes I do wish the Lord would say, leave them alone forever, but he doesn't. He just says, leave them alone for now. Let them heal. Let them get through that. Leave them alone. Get them out of this place. So let me go on. He said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do good to them. You may do them good. But me, you do not have always. Look at verse 8. Check this out. Verse 8 says, she, this is still the Lord speaking, she has done what she could. She has done what she could. She did what she was able to do. She has done what she could. You can do what you can. Look at this. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. I love verse 9. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. What? She is recognized around the world for doing what? What did she do? What was so outstanding that she did? She did what she could. No, we know the very act that she did. We know the anointing. We know that she took the oil. But that's not what was recognized. What's recognized is she did what she could. She just did what she could do. And I want to come to you today, and I've got a couple of questions for you. And I want you to consider, are you doing what you can for the Lord? Are you really doing what you can? Because there's so many people today that have it stuck in their mind that they can't do it. They can't give $100. They can't give the $1,000. Or they just can't spend that much time. Or they can't volunteer anymore. Or they can't stand and cook anymore. They can't carry the load anymore. They can't teach Sunday school anymore. I hear this over and over again from my desk as a pastor. I just continually hear this conversation. Pastor, I just don't think I can do that. I just don't think I can do that. And I can tell you that my answer has always been the same. Then just do what you can. do what you can. But sitting down is nothing. And multiplying nothing times nothing still equals nothing. That little girl, I can still hear. That just blows my mind. It doesn't matter how big the number is. If it's multiplied times zero, it's still going to be zero. And that, she said, that just doesn't seem fair. It seems like it ought to get part of it. No, because it's not a half. Zero is nothing. Do something for the Lord. Let's talk about this for just a second. This lady, we're not given her name. We don't know her name now. A lot of theologians will tell you they believe it's Mary. They do have evidence in different places. That's what they want to go to. We can call her Mary if that's what you like. But if you don't, then listen, that's not going to be an argument over me. This is a lady, a woman, that is remembered around the world because she did what she could do. Just do what you can do. But sometimes we're put in those places to do what things are more like a sacrifice to us that would never be a sacrifice to anybody else. Think about the sacrifice that she made. What did she do? She made a sacrifice. What kind of sacrifice do we make for the Lord? What are you able to do? She took this box of anointment, this ointment that was very expensive. It's spikenard, and I'm gonna give you just a little bit of proof behind it. The ointment that she had was valued at 300 pence. The pence is a daily wage, or for an average worker. Therefore, in modern terms, she spent out approximately what would be today around $15,000 worth. $15,000 worth that she poured out on the Lord. Now, don't panic. Don't turn the radio off. How many of you are willing to give $15,000 in one lump sum to the Lord immediately? I can give you my name of my church, my address. No. Think about it being more like the sacrifice, not being able to do it. Would that be a sacrifice for you? And in this room right here, between you two and myself, I will humbly tell you, for me to be able to just say, without planning, without thinking about it, I'm going to write a check for $15,000 and give it to the church. That would be extremely difficult for me. It would be devastating. I would have to really go to work. I'd have to really, that would be a sacrifice. I would have to get rid of a lot of stuff in order to make that happen. I don't have that just sitting around to make it do. I just don't have it to give. She made an incredible sacrifice. It was very expensive to her. It was very much for her. One of the things about this particular ointment was made for burial. This was something that somebody had saved up a long time. This was given to her early in life, probably, and it was something that she had kept and waited. The longer that it sets, the more fragrant it becomes. It was something that was perfumed and made. This isn't something that is just squeezing a plant and putting in a bottle. This goes through a perfumer. It would go through people that it would actually grind up the shells and grind up the seeds and grind up the sticks, and they would make it all together. They would mix an oil from an olive or an oil from a fig, and they would make it all together. This took time to make. This wasn't something that was just handed to somebody. And it got me thinking about how easy it is for some people to, it's not a sacrifice if they didn't pay for it. This is going to sound a little terrible, and hope nobody gets mad at me, especially you guys on Facebook, but check this out. How many of you know that people don't take care of other people's stuff like they take care of their own? Okay? All right. We're in agreement then. That just happens. Yeah. That's the way people are. If you get something given to you and you don't have to pay for it, then it's not hard to give away. It's not part of that. Then how come this was such a sacrifice for this young lady if she was given this? She was given this by somebody very special to her. This had sentimental value to it. Now let's add a little bit more. Not just the $15,000 value on that. What if you had something that was sentimental to you and you wanted to give that to the church? You wanted to give that to the Lord? Let me bring it to you. This is a difficult thing to talk about, but I want you to really get the concept. Let's say that your family is already passed and they're already buried and they're in their spots in the cemetery, and you have a place for you and maybe your precious loved one next to you and maybe a child or something next to you. You've got those places and they're available and they're all in the family line. and the one thing that you've got left that you could give, the one thing that you could surrender to the church, because you have absolutely nothing else. You don't have a pair of shoes that was worth $5, much less $15,000. You've got nothing, but yet you've got a burial plot that you could give away. But it's not just the burial plot that has the value. The burial plot has the sentimental value behind it now. Is that a sacrifice to you? Now we're really getting into sacrifice, because we're getting into something personal that means deep, deep emotional to us. This lady gave a sacrifice of emotional value to Jesus. What do we give to Jesus? 30 minutes on Sunday morning? What do we give to Jesus? 30 minutes on a Wednesday night? What do we give to Jesus? Oh, I talk about him every time he's brought up, but do you ever, what did you, listen to me. We've got to get back to the place to where we start giving what we can, whenever we can, however how we can. Think about the sacrifice that this lady made in the moment of time. Just in the moment of time. Did she know a burial was coming up? Did she know that Jesus was actually going to give her life? Think about the faith that she had to have. Because the only way they knew this was Jesus saying, in 3 days, I'm going to be done. And then in 3 days, I'm going to rise. I'm going to give my life, and then I'm coming back to life. And the disciples were sitting there still going, yeah, that ain't going to happen. Peter was saying, not while I'm alive. That was their mindset. But here's Mary going, I have something that has great financial value, and it has great emotional value, and I'm giving it all to you. I'm giving what I can to you. This is what I can give, and this is what I'm going to give to you. It means so much to me, but you mean more to me. The sacrifice that was behind that. One of the neat things about this sacrifice, I love talking about this box when you research it and you get into it. And they call it a box, but it was a very fragile box. It's made with this particular type of wood that absorbs the oil inside of it so that it carries the aroma. And that particular absorbed wood is inside another box that is absorbed. And it's just amazing, because she broke the alabaster box. Tradition tells us that they break the glass, or they would serve. Let me get this straight. They would serve the dinner wine to the head person at the table, the special guest at the table, in a fragile cup. And then once that person, who was an elite guest at their table, was finished drinking from the cup, they would break that cup so that no one else would ever be able to drink from that same cup as that elite person. That person, that cup was made for them, and it was designed for them. The alabaster burial box of ointment was made for that lady, served to that woman, given to her from childhood. This is your family recipe. This is your family fragrance. This is your family anointing. This is your family ointment. This is your family box. This belonged to her, and she broke it, knowing that no one else will ever be able to do that again. It can't be replaced. It can't be returned. It can't be given back to her in any way. And I know this is going a little deep today, but just stay with me for just a moment. So this custom of breaking it, when she broke it open, she said, I am giving this up totally. Nobody can ever replace what I'm about to do. So it was a financial sacrifice. It was an emotional sacrifice, and it is an forever sacrifice, an eternal sacrifice. It's nobody can ever do it again. It can't ever be replaced again. So in this sacrifice, when we think about what the Lord is doing for us and what we can do for the Lord, let me share with you and break it down very simple right here. You do what you can do. The only person that puts a financial blessing on what you give should be God, not anybody else. So it doesn't matter if it's a dollar, if it's 50 cents, or if it's $5, $50, whether it's $500 or $5,000 or $15,000, that value's not mattering to the Lord. He multiplies it to his figure up in heaven. And his figure up in heaven is never a zero, never a zero. So whatever you give to the Lord, he's multiplying it. And don't get caught up in saying, oh, he's going to multiply it and give it all back to me. If you give give in that reason, the multiplication chart starts very low. But if you give into the reason of saying, I this is what I can do, this is what I have, this is what I've got, this is what I'm going to give, then God begins to financially multiply that and turn that back in, giving it back to you again. But it's for the blessing of Him. It's about blessing Him. What about the emotional give? If it is nothing for you to lose $5, it's amazing how many people would throw a $5 bill out the window. I would love to do this example one day. I've heard about others doing it. I would like to do it. You know, here's a $5 bill. Let me crumple it all up. Let me wad it up, and I'm going to lay it out here on the altar. Here's a $20 bill. I'm going to crumple it all up. I'm going to put it out here on the altar. Here's a $50 bill. Going to crumple it all up, going to lay it out here on the altar. Here's a $100 bill, going to wad it all up, crumple it. Now you have wadded up, crumpled bills laying out on the altar, right? And here's all the people, and you can have whichever one you get. On your mark, get set, go. Go after, get it. How many people are going to run for that $5 bill? How many people are going to run for the 20? The people that are struggling and are hurting and would be happy, they say, I'm not fighting for the 100. Everybody's going to fight for the 100. I'm going to go for the 5. Everybody's going to fight for the big ones. I just need the little one. I'll just take the little one. But where's your emotional sacrifice? What do you think you can do? Do you think you have the drive to say, you know what? I'm going after the 100. I'm going after whatever it takes. I can do whatever I can do for the Lord. Get the financial, get the emotional, and get that standard then to say, I'm not giving to the Lord. I'm not giving this out because I want anything back. Man, if we can break that mentality, if we can just say, Lord, I am sacrificing to you because I love you, because I care about you, because I want you. I'm giving to you today. I'm sacrificing to you today out of no other selfish reason. No reason to want anything back. No reason to need a pat on the back. No reason to have anything. I'm sacrificing to you because I'm going to bless you. This is what this lady did. This woman did what she could do. And I love it. I want to go back to that scripture just real quick. And I'm not going to quote a lot of scriptures to you today. I'm excited about this passage of scripture because it means so much. I love looking at what Jesus said to all of the other disciples around. What were they doing? They were aggravated. They were frustrated. They said, why can't this be sold for 300 denarii? Why can't we give this money to the poor people? We could go help poor people, and we could take care of this. We can make this a better place. And the Lord said, and I know I've already capped on this big time, the Lord said, leave her alone. Let it alone. Why are you even addressing this? This wasn't done for y'all. This was done for me. Why does so many people want to grade us for what our sacrifice is to the Lord? And when we get graded by other people, and I'm using the word graded lightly, because the real word is we get judged by other people, and we get judged harder by those with inside our own Christian faith than we do from those outside. And when we get judged or we get graded, then we get intimidated. And when we get intimidated, then we stop doing what the Lord wants us to do. Did this woman hear what these other disciples were saying? Did she? Everything in this scripture indicates, yes, she was listening to them say, what are you doing? Are you crazy? Why are you there? Why are you doing that? Why are you making that sacrifice? Why are you giving this? Why? Everybody wants to know why. And I love it. The Lord just steps up before she ever answers. We don't have her saying a word. Mm-mm. She didn't retaliate anything, but the Lord did. The Lord stood up for her on her side and said, leave her alone. Leave her alone. She is doing what she can do for me. Look what he said. Why do you trouble her? Why are you fussing with her? She has done a good work for me. Here's the key. When you sacrifice for the Lord, do it for the Lord. Don't do it for other people. Don't do it for a pat on the back. Don't do it for show. Do it for the Lord. You can, whether it's a little or whether it's a lot, God multiplies it. He magnifies it. He's the one that amplifies it. Do it for the Lord. Let me go back real quick. I want to go back and share with you now, because not only is it an area of sacrifice, but there's two more areas that I want you to see what this lady does. there's an area here that really gives to the service of the Lord, and there's an area here that really talks about surrender. But I thought sacrifice was a surrender. No, I'm going to share with you what real surrender is. But maybe the service has got to come first. What kind of service are we really going to do for the Lord? What is our service to Him? It's more than just the sacrifice. The sacrifice is an instant act. The sacrifice is that moment that just says, now's the time. Boom, let's do this. But what exactly are you going to do? And I'll come back to that in just a minute. This is a good place to break if you want to break.